Not every star we see on the track and field has enjoyed an immediate love affair with athletics. While most athletes tell a story of their experience with the sport being one of love at first sight, there's the occasional one where the stars have aligned for the sport to find them and give their life a brand new destiny. Take Lee Marvin Bonaventure, for instance, the 400-metre runner hailing from the tiny Caribbean island of Curaçao and representing the Netherlands at the Tokyo Olympics. You may know him better as the cool speedster decked in orange with the movie star sunglasses.
I didn't like track and field. When I saw my brother doing hurdles, and then I say, let me go and just try it. And then I fall in love with the sport.
Life was pretty ordinary for young Lee Marvin. Like most kids on his island, football turned his head first. Then he flirted with judo, a sport that he picked up while living in the Netherlands before his family moved back to the Caribbean when he was 8.
I wanted to keep doing judo, but yeah, my father didn't let me do it because I was practicing at school too. So then from there on, I started doing soccer, but my mom didn't like it a lot.
Fortunately, his mother's sanity was saved as Lee Marvin saw his brother giving the hurdles a whirl. Little did they know that such a moment would give destiny a nudge and set in motion a series of events that has taken Lee Marvin across the globe and back again to compete in athletics.
2010, I get a scholarship to Puerto Rico, and then that is where I started taking sports serious. And then 2012, I make it to my first Olympic in London.
That first Olympic Games would prove to be one to forget for Lee Marvin, who was running as an independent at the time. He finished last in the semi-finals, a result owing to the fact he pulled an ill-timed hamstring midway through the race. 4 years on, Lee Marvin would run a season's best in Rio de Janeiro, this time only narrowly missing out on a place in that elusive Olympic final he'd been dreaming of since his stars aligned. Now, aged 32, the charismatic Dutchman knows Tokyo is his last big chance to shine. So, can it be third time lucky for the Flying Dutchman? From European Athletics, this is Track and Field. I'm Peter Sanderson, your guide throughout this series as we hear the inside stories from some of Europe's leading athletes as they brace themselves for the biggest challenge of their lives, the Olympic Games. This is Chapter 7 of the Track and Field story, and we bring some Caribbean flavour with Lee Marvin Bonaventure, the accidental athletics hero. After joining the sport relatively late on as a teenager on an island backdrop more akin to a Tom Cruise movie set than an Olympic stadium, his journey in the past decade has been the stuff of cocktails and dreams. Fueled by what he saw from his brother's experience on the track, the islander suddenly saw a way out. Athletics was the opportunity of a life that Lee Marvin had never anticipated. One minute his brother was home, the next he was gone. And it was all because of the opportunities that track and field would give him.
I was seeing only running, but then you don't understand it. And yeah, I was liking too, because he did track and field like for 3 months, and then he go to Aruba. There's like a small island nearby Curaçao. So he was flying already with the sport. And then I say, wow, I want to do that too. And then when I started, and so it began.
But it wasn't easy, despite Lee Marvin proving his talent early on. And how can it be easy when resources and facilities are hard to come by on an island with the population of an average-sized European town?
There is only one track, only one Mondo track, and yeah, it's only one Mondo on the track, only one stadium. We got 150,000 people living there, so you can say when I'm on the island, like everyone know me there. My first win that was a Dutch Caribbean race in Curaçao. That's like you get so Curaçao, Suriname, and St. Martin, Stacia, like the islands. So it's like a competition that they do like all summer. It's called the Dutch Caribbean. So I won there. I remember around 48-30-35. I won there at 48-35. And yeah, and that I think what was the beginning. of because I was doing before I was doing for 400, I was doing the 1500, the 800, and the 10K. I was doing road races before I started doing for 400. I realized that in 2010 when I get my scholarship, because I did a NACAC, that is like North America and Caribbean Championship. I did that, and then yeah, there was some schools from the US and Puerto Rico that want to give me a scholarship, because they asked me like how many times I train a week. I say only three times. I was training only three times. It was like just a hobby. And they say you're on 448 and only training three times a week without gym. And I say yes. And I start track and field with 16, almost seven. I started like at a really old age already. So then when I was in Puerto Rico, I had one mind, because I saw Geraldine Martina in 2008. Going to the Olympics, yeah, and that was like one thing that inspired me too. When I went to Puerto Rico in 2010, I say if I can run for 48, training three times a week, if I train the whole week and the gym and everything, I can run for 46. So I came with that mindset in Puerto Rico, and so from 2010 to 2011. Already dropped, I go 46.56. And then 2012, there was the Olympic Games. I qualified for the Olympics and I run, yeah, and that time I run for IOC. That was Independent Olympic Athlete. I run for 45.60 already in the heats of the Olympics. And I made it to the semifinal. So if at that time I was running for the Netherlands, I had the Dutch record. But at that time I was running still for the Netherlands Antilles.
Lee Marvin's journey feels very much from a storybook. First it was his brother that was inspiring him to take up athletics. And then, years later, a fellow Caribbean, Usain Bolt's performance in the Beijing Olympics, captured the imagination of his entire island.
I remember I was at school. Shurandy was running the 200 meter with Bolt, and he came second, but he stepped on the line, and there was so much like everyone on the island. It was like when you see football, like everyone was still, like everyone was stopping doing what they was doing at that time. Like we was in class and we had like a big television in class to just watch that race, that final. And when I saw that, I say, damn, I want to be Olympian too. I want to be great. I want to do that too. And that's why I start dreaming about being an Olympian. I say I want to be at that high stage too and do great things.
And boy, did Lee Marvin apply himself, setting his sights on London 2012.
So in college, I say I'm gonna be only. I have two years to prepare myself to be at Olympics. So I start training there. It was difficult because it was only a dream. I was running 40.48 at that time. So I say, damn, it's gonna be hard. But if I can do 48 with only training three times a week, I know if I do gym and everything, I can get it. So then the final is like the final of the college, like NCAA, but the level is a little bit lower. They call it Hustas. So there is where I run 46.11 first, and then I go to Medellin, Colombia, then the next week, and I run 40.45.77 to qualify for the Olympic. Yeah, and that was, yeah, I couldn't believe it at that time. It was like a dream come true. It's my mom. My mom was like really, really proud and happy. She was. I remember she was crying and everything. So my mom was the first person that I qualified in 2012.
Reaching London was payback for the sacrifices Lee Marvin had made en route. He was an athlete from a small island who wanted to achieve more than just being the best in his community. He'd already seen his older brother jetting off to compete in athletics, and that had lit the fires in his heart. This boy no longer wanted the comfort zone. He could see his name in the stars. And for Lee Marvin, that meant attending a college in Puerto Rico, the island further north of his homeland, where the Caribbean meets the Atlantic.
From my 19, I wasn't living anymore at home. So I went to Puerto Rico. I didn't know nobody. And so my mom was coming like in December for Christmas, and sometimes I'm doing Christmas by my own. When I moved to the Netherlands, was just like the same. So most of the time I'm on video call with my mom and my dad and my sisters and my brother. So it's like a little bit of sacrifice, because from a 19, I'm not with them the whole time, and they most of the time they see my races on television or on live stream like that. So and now my mom was with me in the Netherlands, and yeah, for COVID she couldn't like watch my race, but it was awesome.
Coming as far as he has, it's no wonder Lee Marvin is a man who defines himself by the fact that anything can happen in any walk of life. He's competed at 2 Olympic Games. Tokyo will be his third. He's come from humble beginnings to be one of the best in his sport. It's a success story already, and it's not one that needs medals to define it. But still, he's chasing that Olympic dream, and after 2 semi-finals, he's desperate to prove himself in the final.
I want to go to Tokyo and go round for round, and I think I have a great chance to make the finals. I think I have it. I think I'm gonna PB in Tokyo for sure. And how can I explain this? So I want to do good, so that when people watch me doing it, they can see like, okay, yeah, I want to use my talent only for positive things. And yeah, that's what I want to do. I pray before the race. I pray not only for me, for my competitors too, so that we can have a race without injury and everything, and just enjoy. So I think, yeah, I know God exists, and I want to with my I want him to bless me with my talent to show more and more people that yeah.
That faith in a Holy Spirit is what also drives Lee Marvin on. It gives him perspective, but also the confidence that when he competes, there are other forces guiding him.
Yeah, it gave me an extra level, because if you can see my season from last year was like, yeah, it wasn't the best season. Like my last three seasons wasn't the best. Then certain time I started like praying more and just praying more and believing more, and I know God has helped me at one point to be at I ask him, I want to be back at this level, so I'm gonna do everything as possible and to do, and if that is what he wants, so let it be, and let when I'm running and doing good things, then other people can watch that, get inspired of that, because it's not only me, it's when I'm on the track, it's God's blessing, because it could be in Doha last year that I have retired from the sport when it was going so good and I was getting only an injury. So I pray to him and say, give me one chance to do good.
And now he's out on track in Tokyo. Lee Marvin will be hoping for that divine intervention to take him one step further than he's ever been before at the Olympics.
Yeah, I'm gonna take every round like it's the final, and yeah, my full focus is like my biggest dream is this, to make the Olympic final. And in the Olympic final, everything can happen. In 2012, I made it to the semifinal. In Rio, I made it to the semifinal. So I think now I'm ready to make the final. And why not? I have confidence in that.
Next time on Track and Field with Jake Whiteman. Been listening to Track and Field, a Highway 61 production from European Athletics. This episode was presented by myself, Peter Sanderson. Gary Hayes and I wrote the series together, while Gary is also our producer alongside Karina Vigo. Our consultant producers for this series are Kerry Levy, Nick Lapworth, and Jackie Ankerlund. Sound mixing is by Taylor Hayes, who also composed the track and field music. The podcast artwork and social content is produced by Matt Alabaster. Our thanks go to Christian Mills, Rob Faulkner, and everyone else involved at European Athletics for helping make this series a reality. If you'd like to know more about athletics, visit the website european-athletics.com. Please rate and review Track and Field wherever you listen, as it helps make the series more visible. And if you've enjoyed this episode, visit highway61.media for more podcasts just like this one. That's HWY61.media. Or you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at HWY61_podcasts. This has been another Highway 61 production.